I hope your heart has been as touched as mine this morning. My heart is full, and I want to thank each one who has allowed God's Spirit to work through you. Thank you, Nadia and Will. It's good to have Will home, isn't it? For the summer. Safe. What does that make you think of? Heaven, yes. By the way, about this service that we are experiencing now, this worship experience that we are here having, I just want to put it on record. If I could go to that wedding right now, I would not. I am exactly where I want to be. We have no higher privilege than to be here worshiping our God and experiencing His Word and His love. So yes, when I think of safe, of course, when I see the word by itself, even without an exclamation point, my mind goes to baseball. Does that make sense? Because you might not think it's exactly the same type of thing, but I want you to think of it from this perspective. Here is the runner, okay? The runner has been trying to get from home plate to first, to second, and third, and back to home plate, right? For however long it's been going since they successfully hit the ball, got their single, got their double, or if they hit it out of the park, the task is still the same. To get from first base to second base to third base and all the way home. And what is out there when they are trying to do that task? Whose territory are they going through? Are they going through friendly territory? No. As they leave the home plate, yes, there's one enemy behind them. As they leave the home plate, so nice and near to the dugout where they started out, they head straight into territory where every last person they encounter, except the umpires, every last person that they encounter who's going to do anything is against them. They're trying to get them out at first. They're trying to get them out at second. They're trying to get them out at third. And heavens, if they're on that stretch between third and home plate, everyone out there is trying to get that ball to the catcher or anyone who's nearby, the third baseman, anyone who can get up on them and tag them out before they make that home. And then they are struggling, they are racing, the ball's almost there, touching them in someone's gloved hand, and they touch the plate, and what does the umpire yell? We don't have any umpires in the house today. What does the umpire yell? That's right. Sign up next week. We have umpires here. The umpire yells, "Safe." And what does that mean? That means that runner has nothing more to worry about. Nothing is going to try and stop them. Nothing is going to try and harm them. Nothing is going to try and get in their way. No one's after them anymore. Everything is just as it should be. And there's one more point up on the board. Just the purpose of their whole trip through that infield. Safe. We think, as someone here called out, of that ultimate safe that we are looking for. Same as those in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We look for that ultimate safe when we arrive at the place where there will be no more sin, no more sorrow, no more death, no more temptations, no more opposition, no more danger, nothing of the sort. Where everything is just as it should be. Where you have no concern about anything or anyone and how they could affect you because everything is going to be all good. We think of safe. Our minds go back to the Garden of Eden. And we think of that place where God had planted the garden and had designed everything to be perfectly suited to Adam and Eve and any who would come after them. Everything they needed to eat, the most perfect, aesthetic, beautiful, uplifting, soul-feeding environment, everything safe, everything the way it should be, except, of course, that one tree. When we think of Eden, I think of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh, doesn't that sound safe? Safe with a shepherd? Safe in such a beautiful and idyllic scene with the flowing waters? So quiet and so peaceful, with all of the feed that you could ever want, no need to worry about hunger, because everything is taken care of, because you have no want. You have no lack with the shepherd that you have. Does that describe the world in which you live today? Does that describe the news that you've heard this week? I'm here to tell you today, as we focus on safety this Sabbath, that even in this world, with all of its challenges, with all of its dangers, with its bad news every day, with new calls to fear and concern every day from the dangers that happen to us, that we are privileged to be safe. We are privileged to be safe. Listen again to the scripture that Emma read to us. The Lord is my light and my salvation. What's that next phrase? Could you read it with me? Whom shall I fear? What does that imply as the answer to that? Whom shall I fear? What's the answer to that question? No one. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Because of that reality, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Say it with me. Of whom shall I be afraid? That doesn't make sense in the world in which we live, does it? Just on the face of it. Our hearts are tired of bleeding and breaking for kids that are being shot, aren't they? And we must confess that when we think of those things, and we think of however far away or near they are, we think kind of, what if it happened to us, don't we? And though we do not want to have to think about these things in the world in which we live, we do. We think about, what if that happened here? What if something like that took place on our own sanctuary, on our own place that we've dedicated to God and to which we have come for safety, for worship, for fellowship? What if it was disrupted in some way and became a place that did not feel safe but became a place of danger? What will we do? And of course, we might think to ourselves, and we might say among ourselves, we shouldn't be thinking about that. God has sent his angels, and I believe they're all around. You know that song, "We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around"? I believe that. I believe that there are angels here. So why do we need to think about security? Why do we need to think about safety and measures that we should take? I'll tell you why. Because God has delegated part of the task of caring for one another to guess whom? To one another. God has called us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. God could have sent manna to the widows of the early church, but instead, he sent deacons, right? You remember that, reading it in Acts? He sent people to care for one another, to take care of each other, to watch out for each other. And yes, he has called us here for our families, in our homes, and right here in our English Oaks church family, in our sanctuary, to watch out for one another, to help each other and protect each other. I pray that today, as you sit here in the house of God, that though you struggle with human fears about things that could happen, that you do not have ultimate fear. I pray that this is your experience because you know that no matter what happens, you have come to Jesus. And though all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we have been privileged and we are able to come to Him and confess, I am a sinner. I have rebelled against you, and you have given your life for me, and because of that, my sins are forgiven. I am your child, and if I should die right now, I'm ready. And the next thing I'll know, I'll be waking up to see Jesus coming in the clouds. And we can stand and face anyone like Cassie Bernal in Columbine High School with that kid in front of her with a gun saying, do you believe in God? Knowing that it would cost her life, she was able to say, yes, I do, because she knew what was next in her faith. She knew that there was nothing he could do to her that God couldn't handle and take care of. And I look forward, when Jesus comes, to meeting Cassie Bernal, who had that kind of faith. I pray that you have that kind of faith right now. I pray that you know that your heart is right with God, that you are accepted as His child, so that if the building collapsed on us all right now, the next thing we'd know, we'd be watching Jesus come, rising to the cloud, and meeting Him in the air, and so ever being with the Lord, saying with Paul, I'm not afraid. If I die, if I live, I'm not afraid, because I am safe in Jesus. But He's called us to work in this world, hasn't He? He's called us to be His light in this world, and He's even given us a health message so that we can do it for as long as possible, as long as it fits into His plan to serve each other, to serve the world, and to shine for Him here and draw people to Jesus. And so here we seek to take measures to take care of each other, to help each other be safe. Now, y'all are here, right? Why would I ask that? Honestly, I don't know. But anyway, what I'm getting at is that means you're not at your house right now, right? How many of you have your doors locked at your house right now? Or is this a faithless generation? Who left your doors locked? You know God has His angels at your place too. But guess what? God has given us tools and means. He's given humans the ability to invent farm equipment so that they can till the soil and plant food and harvest it and feed each other. He's given us the ability in the face of evil that's at loose in the world, in the face of people who have surrendered themselves to the devil's agenda, to harm others, to take from others, to do all of these things, He has given us the ability to have tools to help each other be safe and have that kind of protection. So this morning, we are going to take some time and we are going to talk about safety at English Oaks. We're going to talk about safety at English Oaks, and I'm really happy to introduce to you today, and I need that black microphone. Do you know we have a safety officer at English Oaks Church? We have someone who has accepted the ministry of focusing on what we can do here to eliminate as many hazards as possible, knowing that we will never eliminate every possible hazard that there could be, and that we can be ready for different situations that could arise in which danger would present itself to our church family. Notably, you saw me skip over the statistics page. It was a page of the leading causes of how you could die in your whole lifetime. By the way, the first whole set was health stuff, folks. If you're concerned about security and safety, take care of your health, okay? Get out there, exercise, eat right, drink plenty of water, get enough sleep at night. That's the single greatest thing over anything that you could do here today, anything that we can go over here today, that's the single greatest thing that you could do to keep yourself from dying any sooner than necessary, okay? Just get that out of the way. But down on the list, there are things like fires, earthquakes, and yes, shootings that we sadly hear about week after week and day after day. So, Ron, would you mind coming down here and sharing with our congregation? We are not going to do any drills today. We will probably do a drill at some time in the future. But today we're going to just go over a few things to share with you the kinds of things that we're thinking about and the simple things to be prepared and to think about what to do if any of those three main things happen.
Thank you, Pastor. Is this working? Sounds like it. Let me tell you, first off, this being up in front of all you folks takes me completely out of my comfort zone. With a background in law enforcement all my adult life, I was more used to being in a background observing, and for the last 18 years of that career, I was undercover. So this is new, so if I stumble, bear with me. As Pastor Bob pointed out, we live in a different time. Unfortunately, here we just had another shooting day before yesterday at a school, people, students killed and such. It's sad, but when I look around and I see what's going on, actually it's kind of comical because I wasn't asked to be the safety officer. One morning as I was walking through the church, our mayor, as he was passing, looked at me and smiled and said, "Ron, you're the safety officer." I thought, okay, we can deal with that. Anyway, what's happened, church family, is that up until this point, unfortunately, our English Oaks Church has not had a safety program. So what I've been doing is I've been interacting with the safety officer at the Fairmont Church, Fred Schmidt. Probably a lot of you know him. They've had a program in place for 2 years, and he's graciously permitted me to duplicate that program. Not everything fits in our church, but probably 85% of it does. So I'm in the process of implementing those procedures in our church. As Pastor mentioned, we have the three main things we're concerned with. Number one that concerns me the most is the active shooter scenario. And then we come to fire, and then we come to earthquake. If you folks probably noticed that the church is locked down as we speak. For those of you that haven't noticed that, it is. The church is locked down. All the doors are secured. You cannot get in the church from the outside unless somebody opens the door for you. And the reason for that is that predominantly I or a representative will be stationed in the lobby. And if we see somebody coming and it's 110 degrees out and this person's wearing a trench coat, carrying a violin case, flags are going to go up, okay? Should something happen, I want to be able to get the first chance to stop that person there. I don't want to allow them to get into the sanctuary. We're taking further steps, should something happen, that there are secondary measures that will fall into place. One of the things that I'm asking for the membership is I'm seeking volunteers, people that are willing to dedicate one evening a month to come in and work with me, work with us, to form a safety security team. This team will be trained in all aspects of safety. Everybody will know what everybody else is doing. The left hand will definitely know what the right hand is doing, okay? We will do drills here that evening. We will go over policies, and we will work together as a team, and established a safety program for the English Oaks Church and the membership. You folks are the priority, all right? We God gave us this church. You know, He gave us this church to protect. These are our walls to keep us safe and secured. Unfortunately, due to today's circumstances, sometimes those walls can be breached. So what we need to do is take action to stop it if they are. You folks in this setting in the sanctuary are number one priority. Okay? I can tell you that everything that's going to transpire in case of an emergency will transpire through what I call control. Control will be part of that team. As you can see, I'm wearing an earpiece and a radio under my shirt. If anything happens outside, whether it's an active shooter, whether it's fire, or whether it's an earthquake, it will be relayed through control. Control will activate whatever system we deem necessary, dimming the lights, doing whatever we have to do, and let the congregation know what's transpiring. Okay? This is where that team comes in. So, without further ado, I hope that I've explained to you the main thing that I wanted to explain to you today is why the doors are locked. And that is so that we can control what comes through that door. All right? So there will be plans, procedures that'll go out to the team. But again, I'm asking for dedicated people that are willing to spend some extra time here once a month, maybe more if necessary, to keep our church and our church family safe. Okay? If anybody would like to volunteer, I've already had a few people come up and tell me they would participate. I'll be out in the foyer there till the end of church, and my phone number is in the directory. All right? Thank you very much, folks. Thanks for bearing with me.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you, sir. I didn't say his last name. It's Ron Johnstad. And by the way, what you have in front of you is a map of the church. I think you recognize that by now, didn't you? And I just want to go through a couple of things to make sure that you know just the bare bones. We are going to fill this in as the security team works and educates us more, but just the things that we're thinking through based on information that has been given to us by Adventist Risk Management. In the case of an earthquake, what would you do in the case of an earthquake here? They're very rare here in the valley, but they can happen anywhere. They've been happening in the Midwest. What would you do? This came out lighter. This is a very simple thing. Drop, get down on the floor, and move as little as possible. Do you see anything near you that would be a shelter from falling debris? The pews. You're sitting on it, right? And so, as quickly as possible, you would want to shelter under the pew, get children under the pew. Another place to shelter is next to a wall, one that preferably doesn't have windows on it. So as you can look down in that way and along in there under these places, you could shelter along the wall. Cover, stay away from windows, and hold on. If possible, cover your head and body, protect from falling objects or shattering glass, and hold on. And then, when the earthquake is over, what do? You find a safe way to get out, right? And then, fire. What's the main task in a fire? You want to get out. So what do you need to be aware of in the case of a fire? Which you should be aware of right now. You need to know where the exits are. And I'm so thankful just this week, Fohey and others working, we had this exit sign hidden behind the screen. And now they've done the work and the wiring so that it's now out. Look for the exit signs in here. And if there's smoke, what do? You get down and you crawl, that's right, and you get out in an orderly way. And we will be developing plans so that as we have instructions, if the sound system is available, you'll be instructed who to follow And there will be people to lead you to the place where we gather to make sure that everybody's okay. And then, as someone observed, we also have fire extinguishers in the sanctuary. I'm not going to blind you with laser, but you can see there's one over there. There's one in the PA booth. There's one there. There's one there. And there's ones in these little stairway halls. And then throughout the church. Also, in case you didn't know, come on, little laser, there's a automatic electronic defibrillator next to the library there in case we were to have a cardiac emergency. So these are some of the things. And then we come to the one that we hate to think of probably the most, which is an active shooter. And it gives basic steps. Respond immediately. In other words, don't take a long time concluding what the situation is. And you will receive guidance. Possibly, this is a situation where quietness is very important as well. Particularly if it's during Sabbath school time and you're in your classrooms, you want to be quiet. You want to turn your phone down, not to vibrate, but to silent. And then, what are the options? If you see a way to run away quietly from the danger, you do that. You get out of the situation. If not, you find a way to hide. We are going to be asking, if in the case there was someone coming through those doors, you would be told to lay down in your pews. The lights would be shut off first, because we wouldn't want anyone to be able to see what they're doing. And of course, coming in from the brightness outside, it would be hard on their vision. And that's exactly the effect. And so you would be asked to get down in your pews, and if there was a way to escape quietly, that's what we would want to have happen. And then we would consider the little sequence that said run, hide, fight, in which case there are ways in which to try and impede someone who would try and do that. And third, you see that? What? What advantage do we have in that instruction? We know Jesus. We know that we are safe in Him, and we can be calm in these situations. And by the way, if you're prone to panic, don't worry. We're not going to judge you. Say, oh, that person doesn't know Jesus. You have one more thing you want to say?
Yes, I just want to mention Pastor.
Okay, safety officer.
I'm sorry, folks. There's one thing that I thought about when I walked out. We talked about the church being locked
down. Hold it way up.
About the church being locked. What I also want to advise you of is that all of the exit doors have crash bars. So I don't want you to think that you're going to be trapped in the church. When you hit that crash bar, that door will open. Okay? Thank you very much.
That's right. See, I put up a paragraph for him. You'll be able to exit with no problem at any time. So it's only to someone trying to get out. Now I want you to go back to the scriptures that we looked at. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That beautiful, peaceful scene. But what's the next line? Does anybody know who's memorized the 23rd Psalm? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? I will fear no evil. Why? For You are with me. I'm safe anywhere with Jesus. Remember that song? Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere He leads me in the world below. And then the other one, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Say it again. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Do you know what I noticed is common between those passages, between Psalm 23 and 27? It's how they begin. The thing that makes all the difference for these situations that we've discussed and for the situation of your life, walking out on streets when you hear about people doing terrorist acts with even their vehicles, going to events and all these kinds of things, the thing that makes the difference that transforms everything is this: the Lord is. Remember how he presented himself to Moses when Moses was afraid of going to Pharaoh? What he said, I am has sent you. The Lord is. And that changes everything. And by the way, when it says the Lord is in those Psalms, it's not saying some generic term about the Lord. That's his personal name. Yahweh, Jehovah, is. He exists. And we can go through the Bible to see all the different ways that phrase can be completed. The Lord is loving. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is gracious. Can you fill some in? The Lord is mighty. The Lord is powerful. The Lord is creator. The Lord is above all things. The Lord is my shepherd. As some translations say, I have everything I need, and I would add to that, for every situation, because the Lord is. I'm going to borrow your plane, Delia. Is that okay? Have you ever been in a plane in turbulence? You don't even want to know how far they drop sometimes, do you? Because you have nothing to compare it to when you're in the plane. You don't see buildings going past you as you experience turbulence and side winds and they have to crab and everything. That can be scary, can't it? But you, as a follower of Jesus, when you're in that plane, you know who's with you, right? If this wasn't Daniel's, I would have dropped the plane right here. Because that's the effect of not knowing the Lord is with you. You know, whatever, if they have to dive, if they bank, you know that the Lord is with you. And he will get you through every storm, through every turbulence, and past every base, and all of those kinds of things. But I'm so happy to tell you that yes, there is a safe coming that is the one that our hearts truly dream of, right? The one that her dad was dreaming of, the one that the runner is dreaming of when he arrives at home plate. There is a safe where one day the plane will land and you can go. Remember the song, "It is finished, the battle is over"? You can go, it's not here yet, but I am so happy for the assurance of his word as we have come to him through Jesus, and he is our Lord, our shepherd, our Savior. We are safe. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this church family that serves each other. And thank you that over and above all of that, that you yourself, the God of the universe, have made yourself our servant and given yourself for us, that we can be in your family, that we can be the sheep of your pasture, the sheep of your hand. And you have committed yourself to take care of us. Oh, Father, I pray for every person of every age. You know the fears that try and torment us, the fears that try and make us uneasy, the fears that as we react to them, sometimes we act irrationally in ways that we don't understand because just fundamentally at the center, we're drawn to fear. Oh, Father, I pray that you, who you are, your almighty, all-powerful, all-loving existence, will be the healing for those fears, that your perfect love will throw out all fear, because we know that there is nothing that will arise that you haven't already handled. We commit ourselves to you, we entrust ourselves to you until that great day when at last, in every sense of the word, physically, mentally, spiritually, in every sense of the word, we are safe forevermore. Oh, tune our hearts to long for your appearing, to seek that day, and to live today in complete faith and trust in you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you sing with me and stand as we sing, God be with you. God be with you.